I'm Karen, founder and skipper of Sporting Sheroes, an organisation that helps women in sport to raise their profile and develop great sponsorship packages. This is the Data Talks Sports CDP Crash Course podcast. Data Talks makes it easy for sports organisations to sell more tickets and merchandise and negotiate sponsorship agreements of higher value. Our community, Women in Sport Beyond the Hashtag, is for everyone involved in women's sport space. And we'd love you to join us, whatever your sport, whatever your level, and whatever your role. So, welcome to my March guest host slot. This month, I want to talk about leading a team. Why you? Why now? And what will it take? As we approach the end of the season for many of our winter sports, clubs, teams, committees and boards may be reaching the end of a tenure for captains, managers or chairs, or simply looking to shake things up a little. From grassroots clubs through to Premier Leagues, those sat around the top table may be fearing change. They may want to stick with the status quo or be nervous about making brave and radical succession decisions. Before I go any further with this, and you perhaps take the route of least resistance, I want to fervently make the following point. Do not be disproportionately bullied, beguiled, fooled, or cornered into listening solely to the noisy minority. The choices you make for your leadership team should be well-informed for the good of your organisation and its members, and ideally aimed at increasing opportunity, productivity, income, promotion, and a sense of a team having fun working together. All too often, those that are the loudest, not only the ones that get listened to, but they deter really good people from stepping forward and stepping up. This episode is for those who have looked at their organisation, seen areas where they feel they can make a positive impact, but equally feel that perhaps they won't be heard. It's for those who worry about having the right skills and attributes to lead. Those who are scared to step up for fear of ridicule or failure. Leaders come in all shapes and sizes. And whilst, yes, many of those that step out in front of the cameras are on the website and in the brochures, there are many more who are leading in a different way, quieter, with a different leadership style, who can see the bigger picture, have a vision, and most importantly, can touch, move, and inspire those they lead to join them on the journey. There are many skills I believe should be common to all leaders, irrespective of their style of delivery. The first of these is culture. And let me start by saying that the culture of any team or organisation starts right up at the top. If you've not watched Ted Lasso, I highly recommend that you do. And, you know, whilst it may not be a serious manual for effective leadership, its overall ethos is spot on in my humble opinion. Culture within a team or a sport is important, and it doesn't magically define itself. Or if it does, may not be what you're hoping for. It's something that the leadership team needs to discuss. It then needs to define clearly what this looks like in practice. When I took over as club co-captain for the women's side of our hockey club, along with my colleague, we wanted to make this as simple as possible so that we could all communicate it easily and ensure everyone understood what our objectives are and what was expected. As an example, one of our core values is welcoming. In practice, this means that all players get a great welcome, and we all look to how we can help them feel part of our team from their very first interaction with us. Our welcome message, amongst other things, gives them the specific name of someone to ask for when they arrive for their first training session. At the same time, we send out a message to our teams to say we have somebody new attending and to look out for them when they arrive. And then also, as they join in, assist them with things like lift shares, with spare kit while they get themselves sorted, and not being left on the side to find a partner or a group in practice drills. Now, I know that none of this is rocket science, yet so often it doesn't happen. I remember attending a club for the first time and it being 25 minutes before anyone even acknowledged me, not even the coach. And that won't be happening where I am on my watch ever. Another of our values is ambition. This goes deeper than team promotion. It's about giving our players the confidence to be ambitious in their play and their roles within the club and the team. It's about normalising ambition wherever and whenever we can. Culture and values are also about dealing directly with behaviours that are not acceptable. So often I've seen organisations lose several good people because they are afraid to tackle behaviours that are not congruent with the club's ethos. The best leaders listen. Leadership is there to serve the players, members, and supporters. It's not there for empire building, for your LinkedIn profile, or for your ego. Be curious. Be inquisitive. What might you have missed? What's being said in the dugout, at the coffee machine, or at post-match teas that isn't filtering to the boardroom or committee? And how might this affect your organisation if it isn't addressed? Leaders need to walk the walk. Authenticity and integrity are paramount. And here's the thing, what you do and how you behave when no one is watching is the true testament as to whether you're really walking the walk. At grassroots level, where clubs are invariably run by a team of volunteers, are people putting themselves forward for management and committee roles? And if not, why not? Now, there may be a number of reasons, ranging from something as simple as not really understanding, firstly, that the role is even available, and secondly, what is involved, all the way through to thinking it will be more onerous than it actually is, or that maybe they won't fit in with a committee clique. As with culture, which of course feeds back into this, clear communications are really key. Do people know what the process is? Expectations of the role. How much time will it take? Where, when, and how often do meetings take place? And once again, are they clear about the culture? Next, how can you ensure your meetings foster an environment that people are queuing up to get involved in? Can certain positions maybe have a deputy so that there is a natural and smooth succession process? For the more onerous roles, would a job share work, making things more attractive, feasible, and getting the job done? I've done this with my co-captain, and we're quite the tag team with different responsibilities and skill sets. Finally, make sure that you have a proper onboarding process for new people onto your management team or your committee. Role descriptions are fine and a good start, but the incumbents need to get to grips with the how things are done, not just the what has to be done, if they're going to be effective. So don't step down with a sigh of relief and then complain if your successor is asking you lots of questions. If you don't already have them, it's worth putting together some standard operating procedures or SOPs to make it easier for the next cohort. And talking of the next cohort, look out for those quiet diamonds in your teams and empower them to consider stepping forwards. As importantly as all of the above is actually knowing when to step down. Even better, factor into your constitution or your bylaws a set period of time that a role can be held for. I don't know about you, but I've certainly been in organisations where there is someone who has stayed too long and no one wants to tackle the problem of asking them to step down. Setting a 2 to 3 season maximum tenure gives you the exit you may need when faced with a forceful personality. It also makes it easier for those who might like to step forward to do so without feeling that they've got to go into a testy head-to-head. Finally, make stepping up to these roles a pleasure, not a chore. How can you make it fun, collegial, productive, and effective? How will you touch, move, and inspire the next generation to get involved? And if you, yes, you, sat there listening to me right now, if you are considering stepping up, but you're feeling you're not good enough, not well known enough, aren't in with the cool gang, I'll leave you with some words from the former US First Lady, Michelle Obama. You may not always have a comfortable life, and you will not be able to solve all the world's problems at once, but don't ever underestimate the importance you can have, because history has shown us that courage can be contagious and hope can take on a life of its own. So put yourself forward. The world needs new voices, diverse voices, and fresh leadership perspective. So that's a wrap for this month. I'm Karen, the founder and skipper of Sporting Sheroes, guest hosting this podcast for Data Talks. Come and connect with me and the awesome Data Talks team on social media, and don't forget to join our fantastic community, Women in Sport, beyond the hashtag. All the links are in the episode description.